This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, January 18th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, efforts to make cars more green at auto shows. And a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Southwest Champaign residents live in two mass transit districts, the Champaign-Urbana MTD, which forcibly annexed the area a year and a half ago, and the Champaign-Southwest MTD, which had its first board meeting last night. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
At their inaugural meeting, Champaign-Southwest MTD board members began work on plans to put a property tax referendum on the April 17th ballot. The new MTD needs voter approval if it wants to levy taxes. Chairman Ted Vaughn says they need the tax money for their legal effort to oust the Champaign-Urbana MTD from the Southwest Champaign territory it annexed in 2005. If the referendum passes, Southwest Champaign voters would be paying property taxes to two mass transit districts, at least for a while. But Vaughn says a victory in court would mean lower taxes in the long run.
Nobody likes to get taxed, but you're in a position that's very much like an ad on television years ago. Pay me now or pay me later. Do you want an oil filter changed on your car, or do you want to rebuild an engine? Real simple on that one, and if they see it that way, then we should have support.
The Champaign-Southwest MTD has no immediate plans for bus service of its own, although Vaughn says he would not rule it out in the future. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The new Champaign-Southwest MTD board meets again this coming Monday night at 7 at the Windsor Road Christian Church in Champaign. The University of Illinois Board of Trustees will be asked today to take initial steps toward a total renovation of Lincoln Hall. The academic and office building was built in 1911. Trustees will be asked to approve the hiring of an architect engineer to plan the $66 million project on the Urbana campus. The majority of the work depends on an appropriation of state funds, which would have to be approved by lawmakers this spring. U of I Vice President for Administration and Comptroller Stephen Ruggs says the work goes beyond simple deferred maintenance.
That's not satisfactory for the building. Lincoln Hall is approaching 100 years old. It certainly is time for a major renovation. The facility can handle a major renovation and still be good for another 40 or 50 years, and that's what we're going to do.
This project relies on $53 million in state funds as well as private gifts to the university. Rugg says U of I administrators had considered adding on to the building, but that plan proved too costly. If the project is approved, Lincoln Hall's interior would be reconfigured to provide a variety of classroom sizes. The building would also get new electrical, ventilation, plumbing, and communications systems. Rugg estimates at least 3 years for the work to be completed. U of I trustees meet on the Chicago campus today. A new study has found that Indiana led the nation in catastrophic insurance claims during 2006. A wave of spring thunderstorms that pummeled central Indiana with high winds and baseball-sized hail led to the high number of claims. The ISO statistical firm says the storms in Indiana generated nearly 335,000 insurance claims and $1.5 billion in 2006 losses. Insurance Institute of Indiana spokesman Marty Wood says the relative lack of significant hurricanes making landfall in 2006 helped give Indiana its top ranking. Indiana's most damaging storm last year was an April 14th hailstorm across central Indiana, including the Indianapolis metropolitan area. A group of Indiana lawmakers is pushing a proposed constitutional amendment to abolish property taxes. The lawmakers say the amendment would force the General Assembly to eliminate an antiquated and unfair system and replace it with more equitable taxes. Senate Tax Chairman Luke Kenley frowned on the idea yesterday, saying the plan contains no upfront provisions on how lost revenue to local governments would be replaced in the long term. Property taxes are traditionally a hot topic in the General Assembly, and lawmakers are especially sensitive about them this session because a variety of factors is expected to lead to double-digit increases on average bills statewide this year. Net property tax levies were $5.6 billion this year. Two National Guardsmen from Central Illinois have been arrested on charges of stealing government property after allegedly selling stolen military gear to undercover buyers. Officials say one of the men maintained an eBay site that he allegedly used to sell military equipment. The FBI arrested 28-year-old Lee N. Shoby of Toledo and 36-year-old Christopher R. Hinkle of Decatur on Friday. Hinkle is a Guard captain and Decatur firefighter. Shoby is a full-time staff sergeant in the Guard. Both men are Iraq War veterans. The men appeared in court in Urbana Tuesday and were released. Their cases were bound over to a grand jury. On the heels of allegations that the Blagojevich administration illegally gave jobs to people based on their political connections, the office says it will make the hiring process more transparent. Amanda Venicky reports.
The administration says it wants to move the state's hiring system online. That means applicants who want jobs with the state would apply over the internet through a system comparable to popular sites like Monster.com or CareerBuilder. The state now uses paper applications that must be graded, opening up the possibility for manipulation in the hiring process. Director of the state's personnel agency, Paul Campbell, says it's time to revamp the system.
This takes the entire process from beginning to end, and I think reduces the potential for manipulation, reduces the potential for human error, broadens access way beyond where it was.
Federal prosecutors are investigating if the governor's office skirted state laws intended to make sure the most qualified, not the most connected, person gets a job. Blagojevich himself has not been accused of any wrongdoing. The electronic hiring system is expected to be in place by the end of this year. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A grassroots campaign to change the state legislative process is underway. The group known as the Democracy Project wants to change Illinois' constitution so that lawmakers would have to wait 3 weeks before giving final approval to most proposals. Mike Johnson, an educator from Winnebago, is among those working on the project. He says it's needed to give the public more time to understand what their elected officials are doing.
Every spring, a lot of people across the state and across the country take the drapes out of the house, they take the rugs out of the house, they hang them on the lines and on the fences, they beat the bugs out of them, let the sun shine on them. This legislation is that same type of thing. It's giving us 21 days to let the sun shine on any proposed legislation.
Currently, legislation can be introduced and passed the General Assembly within hours. The state budget is an example, as lawmakers usually approve hundreds of pages of spending items without having time to understand all that's included. Nearly 300,000 petition signatures are needed by next spring to get the question on the statewide ballot. 60% of voters would also need to approve it for the change to take effect. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. This week, the North American International Auto Show in Detroit opens to the public. Every year, the event is a showcase for the newest trends for tomorrow's cars and trucks. And this year, the big trend is fuel-efficient vehicles. Cleaner cars have been promised before, but Dustin Dwyer reports that this year's green car concepts could be more than just an attempt to polish up a dirty image for the auto industry.
The press previews for this year's Detroit Auto Show were made up of 3 straight days of back-to-back new product launches. Dozens of new vehicles were unveiled. Hundreds of glossy brochures were offered to reporters. And nothing generated as much interest as the new Chevrolet Volt concept vehicle. A packed crowd gathered for the flashy and noisy unveiling. GM executives announced that the concept car could run up to 40 miles without using a single drop of fuel. It runs instead on electricity cranked out by its next-generation lithium-ion batteries. When the liquid fuel system eventually does kick in, it recharges the battery for better fuel economy, getting up to 150 miles per gallon. And as GM CEO Rick Wagner told the audience, the Chevy Volt represents a new way of thinking for the world's largest automaker. It comes from a realization that oil alone is highly unlikely to supply enough energy for all of tomorrow's vehicles.
For the global auto industry, this means that we must, as a business necessity, develop alternative sources of propulsion based on alternative sources of energy in order to meet the world's growing demands for our products.
GM wasn't the only automaker to unveil a fuel-conscious vehicle at this year's auto show. Ford's Airstream concept and Toyota's FTHS sports car concept both featured hybrid-style powertrain systems backed by a lithium-ion battery. It might not be all that surprising for automakers to release such vehicles after a year in which gas prices surged beyond $3 a gallon. But analyst Jim Hall of Auto Pacific says gas prices aren't the reason for automakers to get into low or no emission vehicles.
You do it for two reasons. One, the potential of getting out of the business of making a mechanical engine that has to be machined and made of multiple pieces and assembled. And the other part of it is you never have to spend another penny on emissions controls and emissions research and emissions development and emissions engineering, which at every major car company is billions of dollars.
So basically, greener technology will eventually be cheaper technology. And that means, for perhaps the first time in the history of the auto industry, the interests of environmentalists and the interest of business-minded bean counters are finally in line. The big question now is how to get to that greener future. The concepts at this year's Detroit Auto Show all point to lithium-ion batteries as the next frontier. These batteries are more powerful and potentially cheaper than the batteries in today's hybrids. But they're also less stable and don't last as long. GM executives say they think they can resolve those issues and have a lithium-ion-powered vehicle by the end of the decade. But Jim Hall says no way.
I worked on an electric vehicle program when I was employed in the auto industry directly, and I learned something. There are three kinds of liars in the world. There are liars, damn liars, and battery engineers.
Of course, not everyone agrees with Hall's assessment. Some lithium-ion proponents even argue that the technology could be ready to go right now. Ford, General Motors, and the Chrysler Group have asked the federal government for more funding to speed development of lithium-ion batteries. They say the Japanese government is giving its car companies several $100 million for battery development, and they want a comparable effort from the U.S. government. But even if Detroit automakers don't get the money, almost everyone agrees that big changes are coming for the auto industry, and that decades-long battle between the good of the environment and the good of car makers could be coming to a close. For the Environment Report, I'm Dustin Dwyer.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for the region today, mostly cloudy skies, occasional flurries expected, the high 34, wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy and breezy tonight, a chance for a few snow showers during the evening, the low 21, partly to mostly cloudy and windy tomorrow, the high near 30. Winds westerly at 15 to 25 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, January 18th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.